Rosenberg is the author of the wildly acclaimed The Middlesteins and also the novels The Kept Man and The Melting Season. Jamie's written about sex, technology, design, graphic novels, books, TV, and urban life for The New York Times, The Wall Street Journal, Esquire.com, and many more. She's contributed to numerous anthologies and wrote Instant Love, a collection of stories. She lives in Brooklyn, New York, and I'm thrilled to be speaking with her today. Welcome, Jamie. Thanks so much for joining us on The Book Report.
It's a pleasure to be here. Thanks for having me.
Introduce us to the Middlesteins by telling listeners a few sentences about each of the main characters.
Well, Edie Middlestein is the matriarch of the family that lives in the suburbs of Chicago, and she is killing herself with food. Richard Middlestein is her husband, and they're both in their 60s, so I don't think I'm giving anything away by saying that he leaves her. He lives there in the second chapter of the book, so I think it's okay to say that. And then there's Benny, their son, who is an accountant, and Robin is their daughter, and she's a school teacher. And everyone in the family is just sort of contending with Edie refusing to take care of herself.
Well, I've seen photos of you, and you're not overweight at all. How did you come to write this book?
Not that hard to understand somebody who has a complicated relationship with food. I sort of feel like every woman I know, at least, has a complicated relationship with food on one end of the spectrum or the other. I was just I was interested in exploring my relationship with it. Initially, the book was really about how you deal with somebody who doesn't want to take care of themselves, though. That was sort of the biggest nut of the book.
And how do all of us as children of immigrants get over this food is love curse?
I feel like my book is definitely not prescriptive in any way. I have no solutions to any of this. Certainly as I've been touring and talking to people, I've been hearing more and more stories where, you know, people are overweight or they don't, or they are trying to work through things. And I never really have an answer. I think the intention of the book was really, and the intention of every book that I write is really to start a conversation about something. And I think that's kind of the first step. I spoke to a woman the other night who I was doing a book club, and she was overweight and was really struggling with it and talking about the challenges that she was facing. And I said, you're already in a better place than Edie, because Edie doesn't even want to talk about it. So it's good to, you know, at least to open up, I think. And then I don't know how to help people. I just sort of know how to talk about things, you know?
Yeah. Well, Richard, as you said, Edie's husband of more than 30 years, files for divorce because he can't stand to watch his wife eating herself to death. At first, I really hated him. And then towards the end of the book, not so much. How do you feel about him?
You know, with all the characters, there's unlikable things about them and likable things about them. With Richard, I really had to write my way into liking him. All of them, really, I had to do that. But he was a bit of a challenge because I wanted to understand how somebody could leave somebody who was sick. But I really sort of was fond of him by the end. I mean, he really just wanted love. It wasn't kind of about abandoning this person. I think their relationship had been dead for a long time. It was more about, I believe that the people are at least entitled to try for love in this life. So I think he didn't want to give up in the same way that she had.
Well, I really enjoyed how you wrote the relationship of Edie's daughter Robin with her neighbor Daniel. Tell us more about that.
You know, no one ever really asks about that relationship. That's interesting. Everyone just sort of, I think people have kind of a weird, tend to like Robin, but I thought it was very sweet. I thought they were, they became friends and then they sort of fall in love, and I thought that they, he was there for her as best as he could be there for her, and I think that he's kind of a pushover, but he's also got a little bit of a backbone, too.
Yeah, I liked him enormously, actually. And then there's Rachel, Edie's skinny daughter-in-law. She is obsessed with weight and food, and I know a lot of girls like her, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, she's like the opposite end of the spectrum, really, from Edie. She was actually, I think, the character I most had trouble with, where I had to write my way into liking her. But I think she's really about family and keeping the family intact. I mean, she's got an obsession in the same way that Edie has an obsession, but she ha- she also has a very clear vision of what she wants from life, which I really admire in someone.
Okay, although she might have seemed a little manic, especially, you know, the way that she served dinner to the family as Edie's weight kind of ballooned, her family had to eat more and more raw vegetables, it seemed.
I feel like by the end of the book, she's sort of starting to loosen up a little bit.
Okay.
That was my intention anyway, just a hint of her kind of loosening up. I mean, she's got, you know, adolescent kids coming, they're going to bring their own kind of storm, so she's going to have to loosen up.
Yeah, that's true. All right, this was kind of a hard question for me. Edie's kids try so hard to put their mother on the straight and narrow. I know that I tried to stop my own father from smoking. I think many of us have had these similar gut-wrenching experiences. Did you maybe write some of this from your own experience?
My parents are happily married and are disciplined in their own way of, you know, they're pretty aware of going to the gym and eating right and that kind of thing. So it was not my, you know, if anything, it was my own experience, like me keeping my own act together more than anything else. So if I'm, you know, if the conversation or the struggle seems real in any way, it might have been me having that discussion with myself, me putting myself into it. But my parent, I mean, I just did a bunch of readings and Chicago, which is where I'm originally from, and my parents came to all the readings, and I made sure to point out that they were not morbidly obese. They're happily married. They're still together. They still love each other. So, you know, it's fiction. It's a novel. It's invented. So there's always elements, you know, every author puts elements of them, of their own life in it, even if it becomes transformed into something else. But certainly by the end of the book, these characters were all on their own unique creation.
You know, at the end of the book, I thought that Edie maybe had a lot to stay alive for. She had this new love with Kenneth Song, the owner of the Chinese restaurant, and perhaps her relationship with her granddaughter especially. But did that...
You're giving away the plot.
I'm sorry.
You're giving away everything.
Okay, but she seems sort of hell-bent on disaster. I mean, you want to talk about that at all?
Hell-bent on disaster. I mean, I just think she's in denial about a lot of things, and she was possibly, you know, I think it's interesting that you said that these kids fought so hard for their, you know, to take care of their mother, because I don't actually think that they really did fight that hard to take care of their mother until the very end of the book. I think a lot of things sort of got, like, fell through the cracks because people don't want to actually deal with problems within their family until it is too late. But they did try. They just didn't, you know, and also, like, they don't necessarily know how to. I mean, I don't think people want to deal with stuff until it's too late. I think that's maybe a bigger message of the book.
All right. Well, what's next for you?
I am writing a new book this year that's a historical novel, which I'm not really so fascinated with historical novels, but I became fascinated with this real life historical figure who ran a movie theater on the Bowery in New York from 1920s to the 1940s. And she was kind of this boozy, body, complicated, flawed woman, but she also helped all the homeless men on the Bowery every night for decades and gave them money and made sure they didn't die in the cold and that kind of thing. So I just sort of became really fascinated with her and decided I wanted to write about her.
All right. Well, is there a working title for that book?
Yeah, St. Maisie.
Thank you for a wonderful book that I know all my friends are talking about and really, really loved. Thank you.
That's awesome.
All righty.
Thanks, Elaine.
All righty.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye.